Great. Good morning. It is good to be with you again. Cool. Who of you were here last week? I just want to have a quick glimpse. All right, cool. It's about half. I want to encourage for those of you who weren't here. I wouldn't normally encourage this, but the preach is on the website, okay? So you can listen to my voice even in your car when you're driving. You're either going to roll your car or it can really bless you, okay? So I would encourage you because I think last week what I spoke on there was something for us as a church in that. And I would encourage you if you weren't here to catch up onto that, and I believe that it can move us forward together. But I am really excited about this morning, all right? I'm expecting God to do something, even in the prayer meeting, for those of you who've been here earlier, there was just something different this morning that happened, and I believe God is going to do something. Amen? You guys amped? So I want to ask you, if you know, I don't often wear jerseys, okay, and there's a good reason why. Do you know why when you wear a jersey, one like that, similar to what Karen has on there, okay? Have you ever seen this little, like, sometimes there's this piece of string, and you have the split second to decide whether it's a good idea to, like, break the string off or just, like, rather cut it. Anybody been there before? Okay. And I've done it before where I've had, like, a long sleeve jersey, and I thought, man, this thing can just break off quickly. And what happened is I made it a short sleeve jersey, all right? I pulled the thing right up to here. And so sometimes it feels like the entire jersey has been kept together by this one piece of string. Anybody been there? All right, and I think sometimes with the word, there are some key strings that if you pull on the one, it looks like it unfolds like a whole bunch of events, or it touches a whole bunch of stuff. And so I want you to keep that in your mind, the picture of pulling this one piece of string in New Jersey and everything just like, okay, my mom used to hate that. My socks were always like, it started out here and then the socks ended up there with like skew, whatever. And I believe one of the strings that we touched on last week, and probably the key string, all right, is the string of the glory of God. Okay, if you touch that thing, if you start searching the word for that, if you start looking at that, it's everything unfolds because of that. That's why the Bible is there, man. It's because of the glory of God, the bigness of God. And so that, when you start pulling on that string, it unravels a whole bunch of stuff. And what I was thinking, and it was cool, I mustn't run ahead of myself here, okay. Sorry. The problem is when we say the glory of God, and probably if I'm going to send the mic around now, and I'm going to ask, if I say the glory of God, what comes to mind? I don't know how many people are here, but there's probably a good chance that we're going to get 120 different responses. All right? And the glory of God, which is supposed to be, I think, something that blows our minds, the greatness of God, somehow each of us got like a little thing that it became ours. Like a word, you know the word awesome? Okay? Like awesome is a word that is supposed to describe something incredible. But how many of you got up this morning and said, yes, I had an awesome coffee? Okay, or that serve session yesterday, it was awesome. And a word that is supposed to be big, for some reason we use it to describe a coffee. And now when I say, yes, God is awesome, it could have like this variety of meanings. So are you with me? And so how did we get to the place where we last week when we spoke about the glory of God and we're like, man, we need to see the glory of God, that for some, if I ask you, did you experience something? It's like, there was that moment where I experienced like a goosebump for 2 seconds. And we think that is the glory of God, man. No way. It is so much bigger than the goosebump that you had for 2 seconds. All right. The glory of God is much bigger than that. And interesting, I spoke to some of the comm leaders, and in comms we discussed this thing as well, hopefully, okay? But sometimes, like, when we ask the question, have you experienced the glory of God? There were some guys that said, I think so. Okay? And I want to present to you this morning, if you've seen the glory of God, your response will not be, I think so. You'll know the date and the time, or at least the season in your life, that day something changed. Because it is bigger than just the emotional feeling that we feel when we walk out the door and we're not changed. When you see the glory of God, you're changed forever. All right. And I wanted to rush on this morning to some different message or so, but I just feel God is not done with us on this thing. All right. If we just run from teaching to teaching on a Sunday, but we don't get it, all right, we're going to sit here next time and we're going to have to do the same thing because we're missing what he's saying. Is we need to see Jesus, guys. We need, and please hear me, I'm not, when I speak like this, I'm not putting a heavy on you. I'm with you, okay? I am desperate to see the glory of God. Again, okay? I've seen it before, but I need to see it again. And more than just the, I think that was him when I had the goosebump for 2 seconds. Trust me, if you experience God, there will probably be goosebumps, okay? There will probably be tears, but that is not the be all and end all of it. It is bigger than that. Are you guys with me? All right, cool. So we're going to go through a story in Isaiah 6. And it is one of the most incredible encounters. So Israel at that stage were not doing well, like very regularly in the Bible, okay? And there's this one guy, Isaiah, that was a prophet of God. He was a man walking with God, and he has this encounter with God. And so you can put up the first one there for me, Murph. It says, in the year that King Uzziah, okay, that is not Isaiah, it's another guy, Uzziah died. And he says this, he says, I saw the Lord. Okay? If that doesn't blow your mind right there, okay, it's like, that is good enough. We can end it right there. But he says, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. And the train of his robe filled the temple. So he's literally seeing into heaven and he's seeing God, okay? And he says, he's explaining the throne room. And he says, above him were the seraphs, each had 6 wings, with 2 wings that covered their faces, with 2 that covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were crying out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Now, can you picture this, okay? This is not some funny goosebump feeling that he had during worship when the band was really loud and the music was pumping, okay? This is bigger than that. This is seeing the King of Kings, and as God is speaking, the whole place is shaking. Okay? Can you imagine, can you picture for a second, okay, that while we are here this morning, that God speaks, not me, okay, and this whole place starts shaking. All right? Can you imagine what your response will be? All right? Some will run, okay? But that is what he's seeing, all right? And you know, it's really interesting when we read that part in Isaiah, I think sometimes the reason why we struggle to, to put it in words, whether we've seen God's glory enough, I would often say it's from our response, okay? And I tried to do a little study in this week, okay? I couldn't get through the whole Bible, okay? But I couldn't find an example in the Bible where there was one guy who've seen the fullness of God, seen God like that in all his glory and went like, this is amazing, I just want to be here the whole time. And, you know, they wanted to be there the whole time, but you know what the response was? It's Isaiah's response. We can go to the next verse, Murph. He says, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. Okay. The one guy in Israel who can be seen as the righteous, who can be seen as the one who's walking with God, he sees God in all his fullness, in all his glory. And his response is not like, whoa. His response is like, I'm going to die, for I've seen the Lord. He says, woe to me. He says, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. How hectic is that? Yeah. And I think sometimes our response, and that's why we get confused, whether we've seen the glory of God, is I think we don't always get there. It's like, woe is me, okay? And there's something for me in this, that when Isaiah really saw the Lord, his response was, I'm undone, God, okay? And I'll be honest, there's so many mornings or so often that I run into God's presence and I'm like, I feel like I've earned it. I feel like, God, of course you're going to show up to me because I've been a good boy this week, okay, or whatever. And I deserve it. And the moment that I see God, I'm just like, I can't be in the presence of God. Like, woe is me. Yeah? You guys with me, all right? And then we go on to the next part. And it's interesting, it says, then one of the seraphs, okay, that's basically an angel, I think, if I'm correct, okay, a chunky, big angel. Nah? And seraphs flew to me with the life coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar. And he touched my mouth and he said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Nah? And the amazing thing with seeing the glory of God is, you know what it does? Firstly, it brings us to a place where we realize we need mercy. That is what it does, okay? It doesn't, man, the first response, yes, it has a whole bunch of other strings that it pulls out. But the first thing that it does, it brings us to places like, I need mercy. I'm hungry for mercy. And you know what it does? It's God loves a hungry heart, man. God loves a heart that is hungry for mercy. And immediately, that seraph flew me, touched him and says, behold, this has touched your lips and your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. God loves that. I don't think there's been one example where God, now on earth, where someone would run to God for mercy. There's not an example. Where someone would run to God for mercy and God doesn't rush to meet it with mercy. He loves that. Okay? And God, in this instance, rushes to Isaiah and he says, behold, your sin is taken away and your guilt is atoned for. I switched it around. Anyway. And you know what that does, okay? It's when we realize, and I'm not speaking about like, oh, thanks God, I knew you would have done it, and we go on anyway. When we really see the glory of God, and like Isaiah, when we really realize how sinful we are, okay? And we really realize the price that he has paid, that verse that says that your sin is taken away and it's atoned for, all right? That is not like, thanks Jesus, and we go on as normal. It brings a response. It forces thankfulness. Yeah? It forces us to you guys get what I'm saying? Yeah? It forces a response. And so when we pull on the string of the glory of God, it doesn't just stop there as an isolated topic that we preached on one Sunday. But it brings mercy that we realize, man, we can't get it. If you ever wanted a reason to come to church ready to worship, okay? I don't know who if you drove here this morning, if you're really honest, and it's like, I hope we don't worship for too long, okay? Man, sometimes we feel like that, all right? Don't raise your hand. But anyway, but sometimes if we're honest, we feel like that, and we're like, I hope they just don't sing This Is Amazing Grace for the 400th time, okay? And if you ever wanted a reason to be thankful and to come worship God, all you need to do is by the time you walk through that door, is see nail-pierced hands. That made the way that we can have mercy. All right? And by the time you get through that door, you already came through the door of mercy. And there's thankfulness in our hearts that, God, if it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for you. All right? If you ever get in your car again, and Mike used an example this morning, you just shouted at the kids when you came here, you wanted to kick the dog, whatever. All right? And by the time you stop, you don't feel like worshiping. I want to encourage you, take 2 seconds and just think about nail-pierced hand and say, God, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have been able to do this. And mercy comes into play and thankfulness rises up. And worship erupts. All right? And this doesn't just bring about like some be still and know that I'm God kind of worship. But I believe it brings about extravagant worship. Extravagant worship. And in the prayer meeting, you guys should have been here this morning at the prayer meeting, all right? But in the prayer meeting, there was something this morning where Mark said, it is time for our theology to meet our action. Okay? And I realized, man, I fully believe, and I think most of you would sit here this morning and say, I fully believe that God should be worshipped extravagantly. He should be worshipped in a shout. He should be worshipped in a bowing down. He should be a worship in a lying on our faces. We believe that, eh? But how often do we do that? Not very often, okay? And I was like, God, this morning, I want my actions to meet my theology, Lord. I believe this morning that you're worthy to be worshipped extravagantly. Because you're great and glorious. And then we see in Isaiah, this next part, Isaiah 6 verse 8. It says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I. sent me. Okay. Now, by this time, he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know how long he was going for. He didn't know what the price was going to be. He didn't know if he was ever going to see his family again. He didn't know if there was provision going to be for it. He didn't even know what he was going to do. But he was awestruck by seeing the glory of God and experiencing the mercy that God was given him. When he heard God speaking there in the throne room, who can we send? Okay. It was natural that he said, here am I, send me. I don't know where to, but God, if you're going to use someone, use me. I want to be used for your glory. All right? And that right there, for me, is extravagant worship. And so often, we first want to ask all the questions like, so who's coming with me? Or who's gonna fund this, okay? Or what is going to be the time frame on this? And I think it's often because we just don't get the glory of God. We don't get the mercy of God. And Anyway. And you know what I just want to stop here is for us worship, and this is the thing that I wanna this is my main aim for this morning, all right? And I think that's what Mike said. Sometimes we use worship as a platform to set up the preach, all right? And I never want to do that. Okay? If someone ever asks me just to play a song to set up the meeting, I say no. And I've done that before, okay? Because worship is not for that, man. All right? Worship always starts with God. It starts with seeing Jesus, all right? Because how can we bring a song to God with unclean lips without realizing the mercy that He's given? All right? It burns away. It's such a cool chat with Brendan in the week. Just like, sin can't come before God. It gets burned up. The question is, are you going to get burned up with it or not? All right? Like, we can't just rush into God's presence without seeing Him. And like, here's your song, and God is there in heaven. Oh my heck, I've waited for how great is the God, how great is our God the whole week. Here it comes, okay? And look, God doesn't care about that, okay? He's been waiting for hearts that received mercy and has seen Him to come this morning. It's like, God, it's all about You. Whatever we sing, whether we sing how great is our God or whatever, I don't know. Okay, but He's been waiting for a heart to see Him. And worship starts with seeing God. All right? And it can come, like I said, it can come in forms of shouting. It can come in forms of lifting hands. And I've done a preach on that before. We can maybe do it sometime again. Okay, but there's many forms to worshiping God. But as long as it starts with God, it's about You. It is not so that I can work myself up so I can get the goosebump. All right? Worship is not a means to an end. It is a response of seeing the glory of God. And yes, there will be some mornings when you rock up here, and I've had that before, where honestly, I haven't seen God, and I don't feel like worshiping right now. You know, but never, never use it as a tool to get to some feeling. As long as you, the thing that you need to see right there, if you don't feel like it, nail-pierced hands, mercy, mercy. And you start with nail-pierced hands, mercy that was given for us, and God, You're worthy to be praised. You guys with me? And you know, interesting for us as a people, it's like it is in our DNA to worship. Everyone. And you might say, honest, my colleague at work, it is not in his DNA to worship, okay? He's worshiping something. It might not be God, but we were designed to worship. And you'll find people, whether it's, I often say to the youth at school, and they're the first to say, my buddy next to me in class is not a worshiper, okay? He's worshiping something. It can be money, it can be surfing, it can be God, it can be whatever, but we were designed to worship. It's in our core. It's who we were made for, and I think, but worship gets a different meaning here when the presence of God rocks up. And remember what we spoke about last weekend. I'm not going to go into it now, but what sets us apart, it's not the fact that we just worship something different. The fact that sets us apart is the presence of God. That is what makes us different from every other person on the face of the planet, is that God should be the midst of our worship, the center of our worship, the center of what we do. All right? And so I'm gonna finish with a story. And please, I want to, like Mike said this morning, there's going to be a response, okay? And it's going to force us out of our comfort zone, okay? And we're not going to work something up and say, listen, really, if I wanted people shouting the whole night, I'll go to a nightclub and there's a lot of people shouting there and dancing like it's going bananas. That's not what it's about. But what we want this morning is for people to respond to God in an appropriate way of
that you're worthy, Lord.
You guys get me? All right. And so we're going to read a story in Luke 17. And it's quite a familiar portion. And it says, now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And I want to just highlight quickly background. Samaria, in those days, was like a landmine of racial and cultural issues. All right. The Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along very well. Okay. And so there were other ways, like around Samaria, for the guys to travel. Because Samaria, it's probably like traveling through Northwest these days. Okay. I have family living in Northwest. It is racist, man, up there. All right. And so, eh? Yeah, everywhere, okay? But Jesus, for some reason, decides, I'm not going to travel around. He decides to walk through Samaria, all right? And he says, as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance. Now, leprosy, if you don't know what leprosy is, do yourself a favor and go Google leprosy and click on images after you leave here. Okay, you'll be disgusted for life, okay? Disgusted, okay? Leprosy was such a, I think in those days especially, a misunderstood disease where there was no cure for it, and people really believed that it was a curse from God, because you would get it, there was nothing you can do, and your fingers would start falling off, your nose would start disappearing, you would lose your ear, and so what the guys did in those times, it was called unclean, all right? So what they'd made with the lepers is they made them hang a bell around their necks, okay? And they had to go stay outside the city. Now, any of you ever had like social or emotional issues? That's a big one to deal right there, okay? Insecurity, okay? So the moment that you want to come into the town, you have this bell, you sound like a cow, okay? Ding, 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 as you walk. And you have to shout, leper, leper, unclean. Okay, just in case someone doesn't know and they touch you and they get leprosy, so you give people a heads up, do not touch me, I'm unclean, all right? Now, can you imagine the emotional and the rejection that they have to deal with every day, okay? And it says that these guys, 10 of them, because they would find their own little huddle, okay, standing at a distance, shouted at Jesus, okay? And he says, and they called in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. All right, standing and shouting, and that's basically them. In another translation, you'd say, "Jesus, have mercy on us, mercy." Okay, and Jesus stops, and he looks, and he says, "When he saw them, he said, 'Go and show yourself to the priest.'" Okay, not a good idea. Okay, like notice they aren't healed yet. All right, so these guys, the priests were the main guys who rejected them. They even, the reason why that bell was hung around their necks is they weren't even allowed to come into the temple to worship, okay? And Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priests. It's like, Jesus, that doesn't really make sense, okay? But funny, their response is like, and as they went, all right, they were cleansed. Now, wouldn't you have loved to be part of that little walk happening, all right? Now, picture, this is not just you had a sore throat, and as you go, you're getting healed, okay? You had no fingers, all right? And as you're walking, it's like, oh my heck, I have fingers, okay? And you look at that guy, it's like, your nose, you have a nose. And the other guy is like, I can hear you, I have an ear, okay? And all of a sudden, body parts that was missing as you're walking starts appearing, okay? And I promise you, that walk wasn't like, wow, this is pretty cool, okay? It was chaos, all right? And the walking is like, no way! And now the natural thing is like, man, we're going to go to the priest, take off the bell, we're going to get our certificate that says we are allowed to come into the temple, okay? Because imagine that conversation, knocking up at the temple door, okay? It's like, yes, what is your question? Sorry, we want to get a certificate that we can again worship in the temple. And they say, why can't you? It's like, well, people thought we were lepers, but obviously we're not. Okay, high five with all five. And it's like, obviously we're not. And we want to come in worship, okay? And that was the right thing that was supposed to happen. Thanks. I'm so stoked you guys laughed at that one. I was nervous. All right. And they go and they're healed. And then we know the story, but it says one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. Don't you like that? I would have fitted in right there. Okay? It's like, but one came back praising God with a loud voice. And I just want to see that I don't skip anything. And it's interesting. I think one of these guys had a genuine revelation of the mercy of God and the glory of God as he was walking. And he says, yes, I've asked him to heal me. But, and the nine of them, you know, the other nine of them didn't do anything wrong. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. He told them, go to the temple and show yourself to the priests. And they did it. All right? But there was something deeper. There was a test involved that God was looking. Who is the one that will realize it is not only, okay, picture back to last week. It's not only about the favor of God, but about me. You guys with me? You remember Moses saying, Lord, I found favor in your sight. But then it's actually about knowing God. And knowing God, we find favor with God. Finding favor with God leads us to knowing. You guys remember that part? Okay. And this is it. That it's like, it wasn't about only receiving the favor of God. They did exactly that. But he was looking, who will be the one that notices that it's not about just what I can do, but who I am. And one goes back. And he had a genuine revelation about the glory of God. And, you know, his response wasn't like, look at me. Look at my five fingers on this hand and five on this. I've got my toes. I can finally wear slip-slops again in public. And it wasn't about that, but he ran to Jesus. And it says he threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. And then it says, and he was a Samaritan. Okay, why would the Bible add that? Okay, why is this like such a... And I just love the fact that the thing that was between the Jews and the Samaritans, God loves, it was the foreigner that came. The one who actually had the reason to not come back. And he threw himself at the feet of Jesus and worshipped. And the difference, I believe, is that... I wrote it down here. I'm just going to read it. It says, the difference between this guy and the other nine was that he woke up to the idea that there was a difference between what God can do for me and being amazed at the God who has the power to do it. That is worship, guys. That is worship. Not worshiping God as a means to an end. Those other guys got what they wanted. But very little worship took place. All right. But this guy got it. It's about the God who has the power to do it. And like I said, the other nine didn't do anything wrong. They did what was asked of them. Okay? And in our context, it will probably like, a stupid example. They probably came to the front when we worshipped. Okay? They probably firstly came to church. They probably went to Com Group on Wednesday. And they did what was asked of them. Okay? But there was something deeper. It is not about just doing what is asked for. It is about seeing the one who it is about. Seeing his glory. And you know what I love about this story? Is, how funny is Jesus, okay? Jesus has a bit of sense of humor, okay? It's like, he's asked, were there not 10 of you that were cleansed? Where's the other nine? Okay, Jesus is like, I thought I counted pretty good, but maybe I was wrong. Okay? Maybe there was just one of you. It's like, aren't there nine other people? All right. Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And again, he mocks this thing. It's like, what is this? Sometimes we just, those other nine, I don't know if they were Samaritans or not. I don't think so. They thought they were okay. They thought, I've been Christian my whole life. I don't need the mercy of God. And this one guy got it. He realized, mercy. Mercy came into play for me today. And then he says, rise and go, your faith has made you well. And you know what I love about this story? It says that it was a man who came back and worshiped God. And please hear me with this. And there's been a little theme. And for those of you, when Ruan was still here last month, he said that this month, he feels we need to focus a little bit on the men. And just as I read that, I realized, man, for ladies, it is easy sometimes to worship. Okay? It comes more natural, I think, okay, from what I could see in the past. Okay? If you look in the church, the bigger portion is often ladies worshiping throughout church history even. Okay? But I love the fact that it was a man who came to Jesus, threw him at the feet of Jesus, and he worshiped loudly. All right, men, I want to encourage you Yes, ladies, please hear me. I'm not chasing you away, okay? I love ladies worshiping, all right? But there's something unique about the house of God when the men comes and they praise God loudly. There's something about that, all right? And I want to encourage the men. Man, even if you can't sing to save your life, I don't care. I shared the story a while ago. You remember about the guy at Hillsong that I stood next to? Let me share it again. It's such a great story. Okay, I'm a muser. I love good tone. Okay, like everything needs to be in tune and whatever. And I'm standing next to this. I just got saved, and I'm standing next to in Hillsong. It's going to be amazing. One of the best bands ever. It's going to be incredible. And the guy next to me, I swear he was deaf. Never mind tone deaf. Okay, he was like, he couldn't hit one note. And that whole night, I'm like, oh my heck, I can't focus, okay? But this guy sang his heart out, okay? And you know what was incredible? That whole night, he was worshiping super false, but he was like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And he would worship God, and he would go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I saw this guy next to me having the encounter of his life with God, and I missed it. And he came passionately, loudly worshiping God. And I missed it because I was hoping for, I can't sing right. Or I can't, no, what is this, okay? And it's not about singing on tone, okay? He sang loudly. And I want to encourage men of this house, this morning when we're going to come to worship, come loudly, okay? Come worship God passionately, man. And yeah, that's it. Yes, thanks, Denise, okay? I believe God is calling the men back to worship Him with passion. And some of the married men, please be honest here this morning, okay? But there are some here this morning who said, my wife is a pretty good worshiper. I think she can make up for both of us that we, when we get to heaven, I'll say, I married her at least, okay? She did it on behalf of us. Any men who can be honest and thought that before, please be no one, okay? I think, if I'm really honest, my dad would have raised his hand this morning, okay? So I thought that, okay? But it doesn't work that way, okay? It is each one this morning coming to God full of faith. And I especially want to encourage the men, okay? And so the band, you guys can come up so long. And man, I have such a desire this morning. And we're going to worship God. And if I'm really honest, I don't know what I I don't know what I'm expecting to happen this morning. I don't, okay? I don't know what it's going to look like, okay? I don't know. And here's the possibilities. This place can come and shake this morning. Imagine that, okay? This place can come and shake this morning as God is going to speak, okay? This place can also not shake, but He can come and He can give us a revelation of nail-pierced hands this morning, and thankfulness for His mercy can fill our hearts, okay? There can be some of you this morning that can feel like Moses, like God hid him in the cleft and walked past him, and you saw Jesus this morning. I don't know, and your face would be shining when you walked out here. I don't know. I don't know what I'm expecting to happen this morning. But man, I have a desire that all of us would see the glory of God this morning. Okay? Not. Okay, and yes, well, I want you to push deeper this morning than the 2 second goosebump. Okay? I want you to be more hungry than that this morning. I want you to go deeper this morning than just to be satisfied at, I think that was it. Okay. Run deeper this morning. Say, God, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes to see You. The great and glorious King this morning. Bigger than the 2 second goosebump. Are you guys with me? Are you hungry for that this morning? Okay. And so, can I ask, let's stand, man. And I just want us to, this morning, decide right now in your heart, okay, to say, Jesus, I'm keen for whatever it's going to take this morning, and I don't want to work it up, but I'm hungry. Hungry, God. If it's going to require a shout this morning, I'm going to shout. Okay, and I want to encourage you, for some of you, if you've never shouted in worship, then I believe you've never worshiped properly, okay, because God needs to be worshiped in a shout. Okay, and then this morning is your morning. Go for it, okay? We're not going to laugh at you. I want to liberate you to do it, okay? If you want to cry this morning, cry. If you want to kneel down, kneel down. If you want to throw yourself at the feet of Jesus, do that, okay?
But this morning, if you're looking for a reason to worship him, think about nail-pierced hands. That because of his mercy, we can come close to him this morning. It's only because of that. So Lord Jesus, you guys can switch off the urn at the back. We are far from done. We're going to worship God, okay? And Lord Jesus, this morning we set our time, God. This long time, God, that we're going to take and we just say, Lord, we want to bring you the honor and the glory that you deserve this morning, God. The great and glorious King. And this morning, we want to bless you, Lord. We pray that your glory, God, will even fill this place, God. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, God. And God, I want to especially pray for those who've been in church long, God, and think, I've been there, I've heard that, I've seen it. Lord, this morning, I want to pray for myself that my heart will not be calloused, Lord. But I pray, God, a soft heart that you can come and touch this morning, Jesus. We need to see you, God. We need to come and pull this thread of the glory of God this morning that unravels the rest of it, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, God. Come and do it, Lord. So I want to invite you this morning. And one of the things for the visitors, you'd find that as a church, we sometimes, we come to the front. And I really want to encourage you, for those who normally stand at the back, switch it around this morning, okay? Don't spectate this morning. Don't watch the guy next to you encounter God and you miss it, okay? You come this morning and find God. So I want to encourage you, come to the front. We're going to worship God. And I trust that we will have the encounter this morning with him that we're longing for. Amen?